Hello, and welcome to Forgotten Fantasy, a Gamerzological podcast. Today we're going to continue with the story of Tanshi and Emperor Blood, Chapter 3, and I hope you enjoy it.
Chapter 3. Private Painon, wake up! A stick prodded Tanshi in a tender spot. He yelped and sat up, not knowing where he was. He heard a quiet murmur of laughter. Shut up! A sergeant loomed over him. Name, soldier. Tanshi stumbled to his feet. The soldier stared at him. Tanshi felt ashamed at his fall from power and did not want pity. Shura, Os, he salaamed. Kneel, Private Painon Shura, the sergeant said. Tanshi stared at him. The Guan only knelt to the gods. The man's face reddened. No salute, and now this. By Doragon, kneel. Tanshi sighed and knelt. You have a problem with kneeling, Private Painon, the sergeant said. No, Os. Bow your head. The sergeant whacked him across the back with a rod. Tanshi gasped. He managed not to fall forward. Unbearable rage flooded through him. He wanted to drain the blood of them all. The sergeant slapped the rod against his thigh, the arch of each swing ending millimeters from Tanshi's nose. I'm your Kuang, and your lord, your night, your day. You're up, you're down, you're sleep, you're wake. I tell you to walk in the sun, you walk. Understand? Yes, Os, Tanshi said. The sergeant whacked him again. Unroll your futons, the sergeant said. The soldiers ran to the edges of the room. Tanshi stayed frozen in place. Private Painon Shura, move. Tanshi darted across and picked up a lonely bedroll in a far corner. He turned and saw all the futons opened in rows, the soldiers at attention at the heads of them. The sergeant stared at him. Tanshi walked to a row not quite as long as the others, lowered his bedroll onto the floor at the end, and squatted beside the futon. His stomach clenched. He could not figure out how to undo the strap. Hero performed this job. Private Vershant, show Private Painon Shura how to open his futon, the sergeant said in a mocking note in his voice. Watch from your knees, Shura. A huge soldier caked with mud pushed by. Tanshi did not know the man, but then the Vershants were a huge clan of many daughters. Like this, you stupid bloodworm. Private Vershant unbuckled the straps and flipped open the sleeping bag. The sergeant ordered the private to close it. Vershant moved back to the next row and straightened to attention. Now you, the sergeant said. Tanshi managed a good imitation, then jumped to attention. The sergeant inspected his work and grunted. All of you, to the baths, then lights out. Private Curran, check the sun shield at the top of the stairs. The sergeant disappeared, a door slamming at the end of the barracks. Tanshi collapsed onto his futon, buried his head in his hands. A nightmare without end. The hunger throbbed. Then came a vision of the human women lying cold and dead. He deserved this humiliation. Tanshi heard footsteps returning. The men flopped down around him. I greet you, Private Painon Shura. I'm Private Genji, of Clan Nu, a voice said. What's your personal name? Tanshi glanced up at a recruit who was naked except for his loincloth. His damp brown hair hung free of the queue. A Nu across from him. Tanshi decided to keep his identity to himself. Shura. Not your clan, your name. You sound pretty high class. You have a girl? I'm Painon. Genji stared at Tanshi's badge of shame. Right, sorry. What did you do to get this? A soldier spoke from the row behind Tanshi. You never ask about the crime. It's a clean page here. Stop bothering him. Anyone not Clan Curran either has a history or wants to marry into the Curran. The thin man touched his own white badge. Private Painon Nip Mikal. I also didn't understand at first that I wasn't a ghost. Quite a shock from prison, nay? People talking to you and expecting you to respond? Tanshi nodded. The soldier grinned at him. Still, all over, it's better. Our own rations, no more stealing the leftovers, if any. A sarcastic voice drifted down the road. My goal is to marry a Curran woman and become just like Basher. I'll be Sergeant Donatello of Clan Curran. That's the life. And thanks, Shura. Basher's after you now. Takes the heat off us poor worms. Tanshi grimaced. What happened to the recruits that failed? Say a recruit who couldn't dress himself. Ignored in prison would be the least of it. His mind imagined more beatings, whippings, locked in solitary in the endless dark. He shuddered. Tanshi lay stiffly on his futon. He would sleep fully dressed on top of the quilt. A whole day and a night before he would have to undress and take a bath. At the end of tomorrow night, while the others slept through the day, he would practice dressing. This Sergeant Basher wouldn't defeat him. He would not. Kuang Tanshi! Kuang Tanshi! A defiant male voice said. Tanshi jerked awake. Two soldiers huddled around Genji, the new private, who held a small brown box in his hands. The dog had wiggled its way between them. The voice crackled from a radio. pirate air, saying and telling the truth. How many times is it, Miss Jasmira, that we've said the forbidden words, Kuwong Tonshi? 3,858, Count Locke, a woman's breathless voice said. Kuwong Tonshi, Kuwong Tonshi, Kuwong Tonshi, she giggled. Make that 61. The radio crackled. I want Miss Jamira so bad, Mikal said. She's got a face like a donkey's arse, Donatello said. She does not. Doesn't matter anyway, with her boobs. You don't know what she looks like. Shh, the updates, Gonji said. The pirate announcer, Locke, said. So we told you what Prince Andre said at the funeral yesterday, and guess what? What? Jasmira said. He's been arrested. No, Jasmira said, for saying Kuwong Tonshi. Sound of canned shrieks. Yes, Locke said, saying Kuwong Tonshi. More canned shrieks from the radio. Tonshi sat up. Who arrested Andre? The men swiveled. Mikal asked, you for or against Kuwong Tonshi? Tonshi blinked. Surprised, none of them suspected his secret. His formal portrait hung in enough government offices. Used to hang, he sighed. Who would suspect that a former Kuwong ended up the lowliest private for him? Of course he's for the late Kuwong, Gonji said. He's dead? Tonshi asked. Esteemed? Excellency, if you don't mind, Mikal said. Just because they took away his rank and clan and tossed his ashes to the wind doesn't mean that we have to, especially us Paynons. Esteemed Excellency, Tonshi whispered. No more. The little radio squawked and hissed. The riot's still going on? The announcer, Jasmira, asked. Everything's blood, fruit, and flowers on the regular media. Canned booze. Yes, riots in Zilabra, been put down in Hatoui Mare, hundreds arrested. Always the truth, pirate air, Locke said. The radio fizzed and crackled, and the voices faded. Damn, we're losing them, Gonji said, shaking it. Stupid thing. We wish to have the radio, Tonshi said. Gonji sent him a puzzled smile. Tonshi remembered himself. The non-imperial words staggered out. Please, Private New, let me see it. I might be able to fix it. He held out his hand. You a machine talent? Gonji gave him the radio. That's pretty rare. Yes. Until now it had remained a hobby. Maybe if it had learned to hack the computer and communication systems, he would have known what was coming. But that had been the guard's job. He scowled as he closed his eyes and concentrated. Tonshi's consciousness entered the radio. A few wires were loose, and the tuning software needed adjustment. He opened his eyes. I have to open it to fix some wires. Anyone have a knife? Tonshi asked. Look on your belt, Donatello said. Tonshi found a pouch. He had kept his small tools in an obi case that had dangled from his cloth belt by a netsuk carved in the shape of a time-thrence spider. He wondered what had happened to it. He hoped Deku had cut himself with one of the tools. Tonshi opened the pouch and took out a closed army knife. He fiddled with the handle, having no idea how to open it. Mikal took it and flipped up a penknife with his thumb. Should Gonji trust you with his radio? He handed the knife back. Your brain regrow from a head split? Tonshi saw a way out for the things he didn't know. Yes. Oh, sorry, Mikal said. More tough luck for you. Basher won't care. Tonshi shrugged. He pried open the machine and his fingers nimbly tightened the wires. His mind tweaked the software as he replaced the cover. Pirate air roared through the back barracks. Men groaned and yelled. Tonshi flicked it off and tossed it to Gonji. The little radio floated on a shimmer of air as Gonji opened his pouch, grabbed the machine, and tossed it in. Psychokinesis, that's rare, Tonshi said. Yes. A trumpet sounded reveille. The men jumped up, put away their futons, and began dressing. Tonshi folded and tightened his futon, hoping it looked correct. He realized he would have to empty his bladder. Thank the gods that was one thing he did for himself. He watched Private Vershant dressing across the aisle, noting how he fastened his belt buckle. Tonshi strode to the urinals, opened his pants, flipped aside his loincloth, peed, then closed and buckled his pants. As he returned and stood by his bed, he felt stupid over his feeling of success for this simple task. Tuck in your shirt, Gonji said beside him. It looks like what happened, that you slept in it. The door at the end of the barracks slammed open. Attention, the sergeant yelled. Panic grew in Tonshi. He couldn't remember how Hiro had tucked in a shirt. His glance at Parvat Vershant showed the man standing at attention beside his folded futon. His uniform perfect. Tonshi turned to Gonji, desperate enough to confess. The soldier tucked his hands along inside his belt. Tonshi imitated him. Both snapped to attention. All salaamed and saluted. Basher stopped in front of Tonshi and stared at him for a long minute. The sergeant ripped his futon apart, then watched as Tonshi tried to fold it. Three times Basher ripped it apart. Three times Tonshi folded it. Not good enough, the sergeant said. Kneel. His face impassive, Tanchi accepted the wallop on his back, relieved that his bedding caused the problem, not his clothes. A few other soldiers ended up remaking their beds. Several, including Ganji, polished their sandals again. Basher made two men straighten their uniforms. All received bruised backs. Tanchi secretly felt part of them, united against the sergeant. The soldiers marched to the base's woodlot, where the sergeant forced them to hunt for their food. Tanchi knew how to stalk and hunt. The strange new blood hunger intensified his senses. Monkeys and baboons screeched through the treetops. Bloodfruit crawled slowly down trunks to feed on the grubs in a grassy clearing. He heard ganos in their burrows, smelt their blood, and sat still as a rock. A gano sniffed at the entrance. The animals scuttled out to feed on the bloodfruit. He grabbed two, scattering the rest. He ripped the throat of the first gano, gulped down the blood, then drank from the second. Eight ganos died before he stopped, satisfied. The wind rustled the trees. Bats squeaked. Lizards and insects whirred and chirped. A hawk hooted and dived overhead. He smelt manure. Far away, the bells of farm animals tinkled. Through the trees, Tanchi noticed a tall wire fence. Tanchi crept up to it. Beyond lay a field of coffee bushes leading down to a small village with several low thatched family compounds. Their white plaster walls were decorated with colorful calligraphy poems praising Syria or relating a significant village incident. They reminded him of the entrance to the family's summer caves in the mountains. Homesickness and grief overwhelmed him. He huddled in a shuddering, weeping ball. Anger dried his tears. Pirate Air said the people rioted. He would escape and gather together an army of Vershants and the smaller clans to take back the throne. Tanchi ran to the fence and grabbed a hold. He screamed as electricity shocked his hands. Ashes fluttered down from the burns. He bent over in pain, sucking his fingers, licking the wounds to heal them. Some great leader he was couldn't even anticipate an electrified fence. How could an ill-equipped bunch of rebels defeat the experience and training of Paladin Yorba and the mighty Menendek army anyway? So much for his grand idea. Tanchi heard sobs in the jungle. A predatory jaguar? No, it sounded like a person, not too far away. He crept through the trees and peered around a trunk. Ganji sat in front of the burrow, his head in his hands, his back shaking. Gano bodies from Tanchi's feet lay scattered about the hole. Tanchi walked up to him. You all right? Tanchi asked. I'm stupid. Of course you're not. I hate it here. Ganji sniffed and ran a sleeve across his face. Me too. Tanchi sat down beside him. I want to commit seppuku, Ganji said. I tried, standing in the courtyard at home as the sun came up. Soon as the light got near me, I ran into the compound and down the stairs to hide. A coward. Dying in the sun is hard, Tanchi said. That's why you need a second to chain you to a pole. Ganji looked hopeful. If you would be my second, we could sneak into the execution grounds. I'd be with them then, with Mama and Papa and the grands and my brothers and sisters and the aunties and uncles and the cousins. Tanchi shook his head. You need to live to honor and remember your family. There's always a stake to the heart, Ganji said. What happened? Tanchi asked. I was out late, got caught by the dawn, so spent the day with a friend, Ganji said. When I got home after sunset, there were army cars in front of the compound. Ganji swallowed. I ran into the courtyard. There was no one, just piles of ashes. Ganji put his head in his hands. My stupid Uncle Han was one of the Imperial Guards who murdered Zhao Haoyin. The rest of the Imperial Guard massacred my family as conspirators. Shura, we knew nothing about it. We knew the Zhao Haoyin and the Kuang. My great-grandfather was the first new lord to make the peace with Zhou Hao Chang all those years ago when the planet united. I know Kuang Tanchi would have made sure we got a fair trial. He would have known we were innocent. But he was missing, and now he's dead, and no one's to speak of him. It's as if he never existed. I'll never have justice. Lord Chen is dead? Tanchi asked. Chen was one of Grandfather's best friends and advisors. He had met him many times, though not his many great-grandchildren. Yes. Tanchi mulled it over. Perhaps he had missed the signs of new discontent because there weren't any. What about Lord Deku? Has he been executed yet? Lord Deku? He wasn't involved, even according to Pirate Air, Ganji said. He's the leader, Tanchi hissed under his breath. Genji glanced around the glade. You should watch what you say. I know Lord Deku was Uncle Han's friends, but that doesn't mean anything. He's Regent Murasaki's brother. Tanchi snorted. My point exactly. Your honorable family died. I don't know why Uncle went bad, Ganji said, or why the army brought me here, a criminal recruit, when I've done nothing. It doesn't change anything. He stared at the gano hole. I've never hunted. Can't figure it out. I'm going to get blood madness. Missing one feed won't do it. Then Basher will have me whipped for being a mess-up. Ganji pointed at the bodies. You caught those gonos. You're so good. I bet you're going to be good at shooting in obstacles, too. I've shot targets and clay pigeons. Tanchi gave a hollow laugh. None of that matters. You kidding? Machine talent, good at everything. You're going to end up like the Curran recruits in Private Vershant, one of Basher's pets. Tanchi shook his head. He sighed, wondering if he should tell his secret. I don't know how to dress myself. Can barely wash myself. What? Didn't they teach you that during your rehabilitation? I had. Tanchi paused, aching over the death of Hero. He took a deep breath. We had a beloved servant who looked after us. The guards murdered him. You asked my name. It's Tanchi. Genji stared at him. Tanchi wondered if he would figure it out. He assumed Anji would have killed him by now if he was an assassin. Tanchi picked up the dead animals and tossed them down the burrow. They needed to find a new one. If you teach us how to dress, we'll teach you how to hunt, Tanchi said. First, no animal will come out of a hole surrounded by the dead. Ganji kowtowed, then rose to his knees and put his hands together in front of his head, begging. Esteemed Excellency Kuon Tanchi, I'm sorry for the crimes of my Uncle Han. Please believe me, my family was innocent. We believe you. The real villains go free. We wish you could clear you, but... The point made, Tanchi ended his imperial words. I'm nothing now. Tanchi grabbed Ganji's arm and pulled him to a stand. We'll both end up whipped if you do that. I'm shunned, without the protection and influence of a clan. I shouldn't have let you know, but I'm desperate to avoid ridicule. I can't get used to the humiliation. Holy Lady Menendek, Ganji said. No wonder you hesitated when Basher ordered you to kneel. Don't take her name in vain, Tanchi said. Although she's turned her face from me, I suppose I shouldn't care. Come on, we need to get you a feed before Basher finds us. Nobody's around. I'm sure we've done something wrong being away from the others. Don't you have psychokinesis? Instead of hunting, Andre simply concentrates and lifts a baboon from its tree. My brother's somewhat lazy. He gave Ganji a sad smile. I hope he's still alive, not tortured too much. No answer came from Ganji. He concentrated on the jungle. A high scream, then two struggling baboons flew into the glade and hung in the air. A good omen, Ganji said, pointing at the small fang marks on the neck of one baboon. One was feeding on the other. The feeder for you, esteemed Excellency, Ganji said, as tribute and thanks. Tanchi saw the near humanness of the ape's eyes and gave a small smile. Thank you. They mesmerized, then plucked the animals from the air. Ganji and Tanchi fed. Tanchi hurried away from the baths, determined to dress before reveille, so Ganji would have his buttons and belt loops. Private Vershant loomed up in front of him. Tanchi skidded to a stop. I don't like you looking at me, Painon, Vershant said. What? Tanchi curled his lip at him. The man annoyed him, always picking on someone and getting them into trouble with Basher. Looking at me when I get dressed, patting yourself dry all dainty-like. I know your kind. Tanchi felt himself redden. Since Ganji now checked his uniform, he hadn't glanced at the private since his first days. The man must have noticed. Quit messing with young Ganji, Vershant pushed him. You think no one notices how the boy follows you like a dog? The two of you going off together into the jungle when we hunt? Are you seducing him? I'm telling Basher, we don't want your kind around here. Bad enough my clan's got the embarrassment of Prince Andre's refusal to marry, wasting his fertile years on his sickening ways. Tanchi's fist slammed into Vershant's face. The huge soldier grunted with surprise, then threw Tanchi to the floor and pummeled him. Tanchi threw his arms in front of his face and tried to remember his first lessons martial art of Inoten. He rolled out of the way and scrambled to his feet. Vershant's broken nose bled onto the floor. The hunger rose. Tanchi tackled him, grabbed his head and yanked it back to look deep into the man's eyes. Vershant's eyes widened in horror, and then he collapsed. Tanchi grimaced. His fangs shone. Kicks knocked Tanchi away. Two Curran grabbed him. He snarled and bucked against them, determined to get to Vershant. Attention! What's going on here? Basher yelled. The Curran snapped into position. Tanchi straightened. He shivered with the effort not to attack every living thing. Basher leaned down and slapped Private Vershant's face. The soldier came to with a groan and pulled himself to his feet. Basher handed him a handkerchief to hold against his dripping nose. The other recruits crowded around. Kneel, Private Painon Shura, the sergeant said. Tanchi knelt and accepted the whack. No point in hoping for justice. Defiant, insubordinate, now fighting. A true Painon. Private Curran, bring me my crop. The whip lashed across Tanchi's bare back. He gasped but refused to cry out. Tanchi hated them all. He wanted to drain them, stake every one of them. No hunting for you tonight, Basher said. I want the washroom, every urinal, every toilet, every sink shining, every damn thing clean by the time we return from maintenance. Private Rashant, you're excused. Get checked by the medics and your nose realigned before it freezes that way. The soldiers marched out of the barracks. Silence descended. Tanchi's whole body ached. He crawled to a sink and pulled himself up to the mirror. Two black eyes, bruises all over his face and arms, kick marks on his ribs, blood from the lashes had dribbled onto his sides. Lady Menendek, where is your justice? Tanchi thought. He held onto the wall for support as he shuffled to the maintenance closet. Tanchi opened the door, dumped the wooden-handled mop and some cleaning rags into the wheeled pail and pulled them out. He dropped a cake of soap in the pail, splashed in water from a hose, then wetted a cloth, wrung it, and wiped the toilets. Another new job he had learned. The dog trotted up to him. Tanchi stopped working and rubbed its head. The dog wagged its tail and licked his chin. Tanchi hugged it and buried his face in its neck. The dog's pulse beat against his cheek. He smelt its blood. The dog loved him, never judged him. Tanchi turned the animal's snout to him and gazed into its eyes. The dog flinched, nervous at the stare. It collapsed to the floor. Tanchi buried his fangs in the throat and sucked the dog dry. Its small life satisfied him for a few minutes, then faded away. He brushed the dog's fur. It loved me. Tanchi gathered the dog into his arms and keened. He didn't deserve to live. He grabbed the mop, unscrewed the wooden handle, broke the handle across his knee, then tossed the longer piece across the room. The jagged break on the shorter stick made it a good sharp stake. He couldn't take it anymore. He would commit seppuku. Tanchi knelt in the center of the room, an appropriate place to die, in the middle of toilets and urinals. He clasped his hands around the stake and pointed it where he thought his heart beat. It shouldn't hurt for too long as the spreading poison dissolved his blood. What are you doing? Ganji stood at the entrance to the toilets. His hands clutched a chubby gano by the scruff of its neck. Tanchi hissed at him. Ganji dropped the gano and ran off. Tanchi watched the short-legged animal scramble behind a urinal. He wanted a human. He would feel so much better. Not allowed. He examined the stake and poked at his chest, working on getting up the nerve to jam it in. You don't need that, Anharad said. She knelt down in front of him and snatched the stake away. Tanchi flopped back on his heels, his arms hanging at his sides. He stared at the floor. Besides, the wood in that handle won't destroy you. He lifted his palm to show him a splinter in his skin. Look, not even a fester from that splinter. That handle's made from the wood of the jungles, not the poison woods of maple, pine, or oak. And Herod put two fingers under his chin and gently lifted his face. Is that blood madness I see in your eyes? Someone's beaten you very badly. He got the worst of it, Tanchi said. Respectfully, Colonel, that's not true, Ganji said. Tanchi hissed at him. The other soldier's a bully. He started it. I saw him pushing Private Payne on Shura. Sergeant never asked what happened. Thank you, Private, Anharad said. Private Payne on Shura, your back so bruised and fresh whip marks. What's been happening? Your hunting, shooting, and training marks are very high. Sergeant Basho's given decent reports, considering. We thought you were doing very well. Private Rashant insulted Andre, Tanchi said. Said he was a disgrace to our clan. He doesn't like that I'm teaching Private New to hunt. Bend forward and let us heal your wounds, Anharad said. Tanchi leaned forward. Anharad motioned to Ganji. They spit over his back. Anharad ran her hand over the stripes, and Tanchi felt the pain oozing away as the wounds began to heal. Get his uniform, Private, she said. Ganji headed to the bunks. The barracks door slammed open. Private New, what are you doing? Basher said. How did that gano get in here? You feeding Private Payne on Shura? Tanchi flinched at the sound of a whack across Ganji's back. Sorry, son, he whispered. I should never have asked you to help me to learn how to dress. I should never have told you who I was. And Herod frowned. She rose and walked into the barracks. Private New is following my orders, she said. Rise, soldier, and finish your job. Ganji, his face drained of color, rushed up to Tanchi and placed his clothes on the floor. Tanchi picked up his shirt. I sent Private Payne on Shura to you because of your knowledge of blood madness, Anharad said from the other room. I'm coming to see if he's ready for his first execution, and what do I find? Shura, kneeling among the toilets, blood mad and beaten, trying to commit seppuku. He hypnotized a fellow soldier, Colonel, the sergeant said. You know what that means. We can't have that. I expect a proper investigation, not letting a bully run wild in your unit. And proper treatment, Anharad said. After such an incident, how could you have left a sufferer of blood madness alone and unfed? Blood madness? Basher said. I had no idea. Nothing in his file. I found him asleep in uniform. A troublesome transfer for me to straighten out. At first he refused to kneel. Ganji stared back into the room and whispered in an excited voice, Basher's on his knees! They heard a whack. Ganji sent Tanshi a look of delight. Tanshi wondered how much more Basher would hate him. He pulled on the rest of his clothes, his muscles groaning with each movement. He put on his sandals, and Herod came in as he was buckling them. "You do that very well, Private Painon," she said as he finished. Tanshi and Ganji snapped to attention, and Herod winked at Ganji. Tanshi stared straight ahead, pretending he had not noticed. His hunger had returned, and Herod handed him a gano, and he tore into it. "It's time for your first execution," and Herod said. "Normally, you would go with the rest of your unit, but it's unusual times. Private Ganji, since you know all, you can't remain here." They walked into the barracks. The sergeant stood at attention. Voices laughed and chattered outside the door. The men returned. They crowded in the doorway, surprised at seeing the colonel. "I'm taking these recruits away," and Herod said. The men moved aside to let Tanshi, Ganji, and Herod by. Private Vershant, his nose straight but swollen and bruised, sneered, thinking he had won. Tanshi ignored him. He followed and Herod across the parade ground towards the military prison and a proper feed. A high stone wall surrounded the execution field. Poles hung with chains stood grouped inside the red curled tail of the ten-horned statue of Dorogon, the great sun god, the bringer of war and death. Dorogon's eyes bulged with madness. His fangs snarled and his many arms clasped struggling victims made of gold. His breath blew fire. Tanshi felt Dorogon curled deep inside him, ready to strike and feed. Paladin Curran and the two lieutenants stood waiting for them beside one of the poles. Tanshi noticed bits of ash caught in the grout that held the pole in the ground. And Herod, Tanshi, and Ganji led attention in front of Yorba and saluted. Yorba salaamed. "I greet you. Getting into a few scrapes, Painon Private?" Yorba asked. Tanshi looked straight ahead, eyes now swollen to slits. Apparently, the healing effect of the human blood wears off after a few weeks. "The problem that caused the fight has been resolved, us," and Herod said. "Fine," Yorba said. "Who's this other private?" "Private knew us," Ganji said. Yorba raised an eyebrow. "He knows the truth," and Herod said. "The only one." "Let's hope so. Move him to another unit until the end of his training. Private knew your future, in fact your life, is linked to how you keep this secret." "Yes, Os. I'm honored to keep it," Ganji said. "My family was loyal." "I know," Yorba said. Ganji started. "It changes nothing." He turned to Tanshi. "Private Painon Shura, the execution of a criminal comes at the halfway point of basic training, the soldier then learning how to deal with blood madness and the hunger for the blood. You, of course, have already learned those lessons." And Herod shook her head. "No, Os, he has not." "He hasn't?" Yorba frowned, and Herod sounded nervous. "There was a miscommunication." She explained what had happened. "I'll discuss this with you and the lieutenants at a later time," Yorba said. The color drained from the lieutenants' faces. "Right now, we need to get rid of Private Painon Shura's blood madness. The blood will lessen the cuts and bruises." He placed a hand on Tanshi's shoulder. "The other recruits have given their allegiance to myself, and," Yorba affirmed his expression, "Kuwong Maru." Tanshi remembered his coronation when Paladin Curran kowtowed and gave the blood in his wrist as a sign of allegiance. "Traitor," Tanshi hissed. "No," he said. The empty chains clinked against the execution pole. "I'd rather die." Yorba squeezed his shoulder. "I've used up a lot of political capital to keep you alive." "No, never. It's allegiance or buried awake." Yorba waved a hand at the rough wall behind the statue of Dorogon. A gaping honeycomb awaited its first prisoner. A small pile of bricks sat in front of it. Tanshi knocked away Yorba's hand and backed up a step. They knew Deku had locked him in the dark, forever blood mad. He could hardly stand it right now. The lieutenants appeared on either side of him, ready to drag him away to a crypt. Tanshi collapsed to his knees and raised his wrist. He bent his head and covered his face with his other hand to hide his stinging eyes. He hated them all. Yorba bit into Tanshi's wrist and took a little blood. "Do you pledge your allegiance to the great god Dorogon and my invincible army?" Yorba asked. Tanshi resented the pity in his voice. "What reward has the exalted Lady Menendek given me for my loyalty to the state, the law, and justice?" Tanshi thought. He rejected her forever. "Yes, Os, I do. Gladly will I worship our exalted Lord Dorogon. Do you pledge your allegiance to esteemed Excellency Kuwon Maru the Second?" Tanshi could pledge to protect his son. "Yes, Os, I do." Yorba's wrist appeared before him. Tanshi hesitated, unsure if he could stop at one sip. "I understand." Yorba bit his own wrist. "Open your mouth." A few drops of blood fell into Tanshi's tongue. He savored it, licking his lips. "Rise, Private Painon Shura," Yorba said. "Receive your reward by serving the great Dorogon and your magnificent Kuwong." Tanchi stumbled up to attention. Yorba beckoned towards the jail door. Two regular soldiers walked out, a fettered prisoner between them. Deku! Tanchi's face lit into a grin, his lips thinning above his fangs. Deku looked about, not seeming to recognize any of them. He whimpered at the sight of Dorogon, then quieted when the guards chained him against the pole. They tied his arms above his head to hold him standing up. The guards placed a metal band etched with the characters for traitor and kidnapper over Deku's forehead, then clicked it onto the pole, holding the head still. Other bands held his chest, hips, and legs. Tanchi felt gratitude to Yorba for acknowledging the crimes Deku had committed against him. Deku raised his eyes and examined the starry sky, seeming unafraid. The veins in his neck pulsed. Tanchi snarled, clenching and unclenching his fist. He shook as he waited. "We got nothing out of him. He came to us as you see him. His brain trepanned," Yorba said. "Someone dumped him at the gates." "Her own brother," Tanchi hissed. "Deku was a liability," Yorba said. "Can't prove it, of course," he nodded. "Feed. Savor every drop. Soldier, show me how you serve Dorogon." "Thank you, gracious paladin," Tanchi said. He stepped up to the pole. He ached to tear out Deku's throat. The prisoner lowered his head and tipped it to one side with a puzzled look. Tanchi could see the skin pulsating over the spot on his skull where the torturer drilled through. Deku flashed him an idiot's grin. Tanchi lost his anger. The man was destroyed. He mesmerized, then sank his fangs. A few sucked mouthful, and Deku's blood, so like the human's blood, yet not, urged him to drink all. Tanchi drank deeply. The mesmerized vanished, and Deku groaned, a change from the humans. "Enough. You can't have all of me," he muttered. Tanchi snorted and sucked harder. Deku struggled, but the bands held him tight. Tanchi shook as a tremendous life force bashed through him. More remained deep inside Deku. Tanchi pulled at the wound, trying to grab every drop of the blood, but unlike the humans, a small amount remained forever beyond his reach. Deku's unconscious body stiffened into rictus. A microscopic thread deep inside him clung to life. "Come away now," Anharad said. "You've taken as much as you can." Tanchi sucked at nothing, trying to grasp the last. Anharad shoved her hand into his mouth, detaching him as if he was a baby too long at its mother's breast. Tanchi panted as the lieutenants dragged him away. He gripped Anharad's arm. "He's not dead." "Almost," she said. "The last of his life will die in the sun." "Interesting. Recruits don't realize that the first time. It's the humans, isn't it? They die like animals, but 1,000 times better," Tanchi said. "The human life force pounds at the end, all at once, like great gusts of fresh air. Deku's like the whistling desert wind that never quite fades away." "Can tell you're a poet," Anharad said. "How do you feel?" Tanchi blinked. The swelling around his eyes had vanished. The hunger had gone. "Good, though not as euphoric as with the humans," he said. "So beautiful. Their blood smells, oh, I can't describe it. The taste, like I was made to feed on them. They're incredible." He smirked. We should go to war against them, Oss." "Should we?" Yorba said. Tanchi flushed. What was wrong with him, burbling on like that? He bowed his head and just shame washed over him. He knew those women weren't prey. "It's normal to get a little drunk on the blood," Anharad said. Tanchi followed Yorba and Anharad through the jail door and into the execution viewing room, a dark glass window protected by an outside awning guarded viewers from the sun. Andre, dressed in the black Secret Service uniform of loose pants and a short kimono jacket, turned from the window and salaamed. He held a slim baton in a camouflage case. "How about those executions? Better than whiskey," he grinned. "I greet you, my elder brother." Tanchi lurched to a stop. "You're not dead." "I believe that's my line," Andre said. "I greet you, Your Highness Prince Andre," Yorba salaamed. Except for the paladin, all the soldiers knelt. Tanchi remembered his status and dropped to his knees. "No, no," Andre ran over and pulled at Tanchi's arm. "Rise, rise." All the soldiers stood up. "The family's worried about you, apparently with reason, from your greening bruises." "It was nothing," Tanchi said. "Kukea knows I'm alive?" "Yes, and Mama and Kay and the aunties, they send their love. Make Kukea understand that I'm dead to her, that she must grieve and carry on. It'll make it easier for her when she remarries." "I wouldn't dare tell her that, more than my life's worth. Please." Andre shook his head. "No, you shouldn't have mentioned me at the funeral." "Thanks," Andre said. "I also thought it was a brave and noble gesture." And Herod smirked. "Tanchi got his bruises attacking a soldier who insulted you. Broke the soldier's nose." "Well, well," Andre said, looking pleased. "That hasn't happened since we were young men. Thanks. In that case, here's a gift for you." He gave Tanchi the baton. Tanchi opened the end and pulled out his flutes. Thank you. I. Tanchi turned away to stare at the window, his breathing rapid. He held his breath, desperate to stop this weakness. His face crumpled and a sob escaped. Andre rushed forward and held him. Tanchi pulled away and took deep breaths to control himself. The tears sealed themselves up inside him. Exactly like alcohol. The downside of the blood. Andre sniffed. Soon you'll be playing and singing body songs for your new soldier friends. Tanchi shook his head. Oh dear, Lady Menendez, how did you like learning to dress yourself? What a pain, especially the sandals. He picked at his pants, and the wardrobe leaves a lot to be desired. Tanchi smiled at his brother's shallowness. He blew his nose on Andre's preferred handkerchief. A soldier brought in a tray of coffee. Andre crossed his arms, a bitter look on his face. Paladin Curran, hasn't my brother been humiliated enough for one night? What's the point of rubbing it in? Tanchi stared straight ahead. Andre, oblivious as ever, had no idea his statement compounded the humiliation. We don't reject our own, Yorba said. Yorba served Andre first, his princely status preserved. The Secret Service kept the usual rankings. The ceremony went down the line, the soldier who brought in the coffee serving Ganji. Tanchi served the servant soldier. The overwhelmed young man's hand shook when he took the cup, past not so easily erased as Tanchi's enemies might wish. Andre bowed deeply when he gave Tanchi his cup. Tanchi took a sip. Tell me, Your Highness, Anherid said, how's your training going? Surprise, surprise, I love it, Andre said. I think I found my calling in sneaking around. I'm looking forward to learning all about the humans and their strange ways. Private Painon Shura, that's your former brother's name now, won't be going back to his barracks, Yorba said. I'm sending him off to officer's school. Tanchi felt a wave of relief at not returning to Basher. Zhao Hao, Tanchi's still a part of my family and clan, Andre said. We do not acknowledge his shunning. Tanchi felt glee at the thought that Private Frashant might one day have to acknowledge him. No, that would never happen. As you wish, Your Highness, Yorba said. I must follow the imperial decree. Congratulations, Private Painon, and Herod said. Work hard. Thank you, Os, Tanchi said. Andre, Yorba, and Herod and the lieutenants chatted on. The young soldiers serving more coffee. The conversation remained bland, nothing concerning politics or current events. Tanchi suspected they spared him. Ganji and Tanchi stood at ease, not speaking in such exalted company unless spoken to. Tanchi found he didn't mind. Good enough feeling part of civilized society again, listening to Andre's witticisms, knowing that despite everything, a normal world without waxen humiliation still existed. Doragon rises, Yorba said. They all turned to the dark window. A glow ran along the top of the wall. Slowly a band of sunlight marched across the execution yard. Doragon's bronze statue glowed, fire caught within. His red eyes caught the sun and focused it at Deku. The light touched Deku's feet. They roasted, reddened and darkened as the shaft from Doragon's eyes crept up the body. The smell of the cooking flesh turned Tanchi's stomach. The others seemed unaffected. Deku's clothes burst into flames. First Deku's feet, then the rest of his body burned to ashes. His banded head hung free and alone, imitating the beads of Doragon's grisly necklace. The risen sun covered it. Deku's face bloated and distorted as it cooked. The head vanished in a shower of black. Tanchi smiled. Wow. Okay. Lots going on.
So they found out who he is that day.
Only Ganji. He's the only one. Ganji's actually a very important person, as you'll find out in the next book and the rest of the book. Yeah.
That sums up our podcast for this week. If you can't wait another week to find out what happens next, then you can become a patron and get a full digital copy of the novel for $5. Don't forget to follow. We make other content on YouTube and Twitch. Our Twitch channel broadcasts video game content, and it's a few times a week. You would have to check our Facebook page to find out when and where we are streaming, but our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/gamersillogical, and we also have a YouTube channel, which you would have to do a search for that because we don't have a slash yet. Our Facebook page for Forgotten Fantasy is facebook.com/forgottenfantasy. Twitter is twitter.com/@gamerslogical. Yes, we also have a YouTube channel for the broadcasts. Thank you all for listening. Take care and good health.
And keep well.
Bye-bye now.